Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Live from our WSBT radio studios in downtown South Bend.
Let's go! Come on!
Welcome to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Wow, don't blink. A lot of major intestinal fortitude going on here.
On your home for Notre Dame football.
Knocked down by Wooden. The game is over. The Irish has upset Florida State. Notre Dame is number one.
And Notre Dame basketball.
Number one ranked UCLA Bruins have been upset by the Irish of Notre Dame.
Good! Arike Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
Plus, Fighting Irish hockey.
They score! Jake Evans scores! Notre Dame 3.7 seconds away from a spot in the national championship game.
The NFL and Major League Baseball.
Oh my gracious, how about that?
Sports Radio 960 WSBT, WSBTradio.com, the free WSBT radio app.
Big time onions!
Now, here's your host, seven-time Associated Press Broadcasting Award winner, Darren Pritchett.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone. This is Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on this Tuesday, April the 30th of 2024. Wow, the month of April has flown by, and here we go heading into May tomorrow. It is 8 minutes after 5 o'clock, and Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat is only on the air tonight until around 5:43, when we step aside for South Bend Cubs baseball. South Bend opening up a six-game road series against the Lansing Lugnuts, the High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. So if you'd like to listen to South Bend Cubs baseball, stick around. We'll have play-by-play coming your way at 6:05, but the pregame will start at around 5:45 here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. My name is Darren Pritchett. Wonderful to have you with us on this Tuesday evening. Coming up, we will have some Notre Dame football news to talk about. There was a little buzz on social media today about a Power 5 starting left tackle going to the transfer portal. Also, we'll allow you to hear from former Notre Dame offensive tackle Blake Fisher, now a member of the Houston Texans. Also on the program this evening, I want to spend a little time on something that's very concerning in our area for our young men out there that play baseball. There is a major shortage for high school umpires, and it is tough being an umpire, and the Penn-Marion game is just dripping with controversy last night, and unfortunately, it looks like the call was incorrectly handled and the process was not handled properly, and the players pay the price. But we do have an umpire shortage, and someone like myself who has done baseball in the past, it is a job. There is no glory. You do it for the love of the game, and we thank all the umpires out there who spend their afternoons or their evenings calling high school baseball games. But we really, really need to infuse a new group of umpires into our game, in particular at the high school level, just to see if we can. I think it's a situation where we have more umpires to choose from, which would be, you know, very good for everybody involved. So we'll talk about this controversial game last night that probably decided the Northern Indiana Conference title. And I'm sure depending on which side you were rooting for, you look at it differently. And I've heard from both sides. I've talked to two umpires today. And so I'd like to talk about what happened last night in just a little bit, right before we get to South Bend Cubs baseball here on WSBT Radio. All right. It's amazing. As a baseball fan myself, as a diehard Cardinal fan for so many years, I used to brag, when we get rid of somebody, they never turn out to be good anymore. We get rid of them at the right time. We never give up on anybody that turns out to be anything. And then the last 5 years have happened. They gave up on Sandy Alcantara, Zach Gallen, who are now high-end starting pitchers in the National League. They gave up on three outfielders, Adolis Garcia, dominant power hitter for the world champion Rangers. Randy Arozarena has had a great run in Tampa Bay, and now Tyler O'Neill was let go last year, traded to Boston. He's got 9 home runs already this year. They have pitching woes. They got rid of Jordan Hicks. He's got a 1.80 ERA as a starter with the Giants. We had him as a reliever for the most part. And all of a sudden, my team has become really stupid. They've become really stupid. And oh my gosh, you open up MLB.com, you take a look at the standings, and wow, look who's in last place right now at 13-15, while the Cubs sit on top with holes on their team, but they're 18-11. Well, I can add to that conversation because the Cardinals gave up on Jack Flaherty, and he's pitching for the Tigers today against the Cardinals. He set a Detroit Tigers franchise record today by striking out the first 7 Cardinals in the game. And he ended up setting a career high with 14 strikeouts, 6 2/3 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk. And he did it against his old team. It's just comical at this point. Cub fans, you can just laugh your tails off because Cardinals are not getting better anytime soon under this combination of ownership and management. It has become just a disaster in St. Louis. So you're going to have plenty of time to enjoy first place and watching St. Louis bring it up the rear in the National League Central. I'm not bitter, am I? No, of course not. Not at all. Just happy, happy, joy, joy. It's so much fun watching 162 games that mean you have no chance for the postseason. So thank you, St. Louis, for another great summertime adventure watching us be miserable. All right. Good for Chris Morel last night, the former South Bend Cub. I mean, he crunched the Edwin Diaz fastball for a go-ahead 2-run home run the 9th inning last night. Chris Morel was an awesome dude when he was in South Bend, calling his games while he was here, played great third base. I'm just surprised everybody's questioning his third base. I think if you just give him more time to get comfortable there, he's going to get a lot better. He hasn't played third a lot in games the last couple of years. So I think he can do it if you just allow him to grow, which I know they're on a first-place team. They want to make sure they have good defense at third base, and that's necessary. But I think he can really do the job once he gets settled and comfortable once again at the hot corner. So big win for the Cubs last night, being no hit into the 8th inning, and they pull out a 3-1 victory. That is good stuff. Okay, to some topics to get the program started. First off, Clarence Lewis, a veteran Notre Dame cornerback, recently went into the transfer portal. Another corner that was not going to be a factor on the field this year, barring injury, and Micah Bell. He's also left Notre Dame for the transfer portal. So I'm sure Notre Dame is highly interested in bringing in a veteran corner, with the understanding that you've got some pretty good corners that you're going to be joining in the cornerback room at Notre Dame. In particular, the top three. I think we're all excited that Notre Dame will have these guys on the field this year. Benjamin Morrison, Christian Gray, Jaden Mickey. And if you can come in and beat them out, then you are one heck of a player. Come on down. But I'm sure right now Notre Dame, at the very least, is looking for a corner to come in to be competitive with that group and provide some depth lost with, in particular, Clarence Lewis and Micah Bell going to the transfer portal. So a player today hopped into the transfer portal by the name of Montre Miller. He's a 5'11", 188-pound cornerback. Now, he posted this on social media, so this comes from the player, but Miller has sent out tweets saying he has received offers already from Jacksonville State, UAB, Mississippi State, and Notre Dame within the first 2 hours of news breaking that he was in the transfer portal. So Montre Miller is someone that Notre Dame obviously has shown interest in based on Miller's tweet, unless he's just throwing out names, which he's not. I can't believe many people do that. So Miller and Notre Dame, apparently there are some mutual interest. He only played one game for West Virginia last year. He played against Penn State, opening game of the year, three tackles, but then missed the remainder of the season. He had an undisclosed injury that required surgery. So Miller is one and done in Morgantown. So we have to go back a little bit. 2022, Miller was a part of a team at Kent State. They made it to the MAC championship game. Miller with Kent State, 47 tackles. He led the team with four interceptions. He had nine pass breakups. That was 2021. 2022, 52 tackles, two picks, and eight pass breakups. Now, Miller is considered a graduate transfer. This will be his seventh season of college football, and someone that probably will draw some demand from Power 5 conference teams. So just store that away. Montre Miller, 5'11", 188, a corner from West Virginia, and before that, Kent State, has jumped into the portal, and he says on social media that Notre Dame has already offered him. So Notre Dame has had their homework ready, no doubt, on this kid. So Montre Miller, a name to keep in mind as the Irish look to add a corner in the spring transfer portal process. Also in the transfer portal today, anytime an offensive tackle goes into the portal, it should cause you to think about, is this a guy that Notre Dame might be interested in? Well, today, a Power 5 left tackle went into the portal. His name is Bruno Fina, left tackle at UCLA. This past season, 13 starts at left tackle. Previous 3 years, he only appeared in six games. He's a 6'5 redshirt junior. Now, UCLA ran the ball extremely well last year with Chip Kelly as the head coach and offensive coordinator. And then I saw someone tweet out some information that I've not been able to validate as of yet. But apparently, in the world of Pro Football Focus, he's listed as the 1,670th offensive tackle. Are there that many offensive tackles in the country? So Bruno Fina is a left tackle from UCLA, and we'll see what type of offers he might get from Power 5 schools. All right, the Irish also today added a member to the running back room, and this is a preferred walk-on. So again, a preferred walk-on, Jake Tefelski. He's enrolling at Notre Dame. And he comes from Central Michigan, where in his career he had seven carries for 21 yards and six receptions across three seasons. He played in 23 of 24 games, in 22 and 23 mainly on special teams. So Tefelski is another body for Notre Dame in the running back room, which is already loaded with five terrific scholarship players: Jabron Payne, Jadarian Price, Jeremiah Love, and then the freshman, Kedron Young and Aeneas Williams. You also have the Mishawaka High School grad, Justin Fisher, Dylan Devison, who's been a holder on special teams. So those are guys right now filling up the running back room. So Tefelski is the latest. 520 at Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Finally, let's spend a moment talking about Blake Fisher. An old Irish offensive tackle, we can now proclaim, after he was taken in the second round by the Houston Texans. Again, probably went a little earlier than we expected. But Fisher was guesstimated to be late second, early third round. He ended up being late second round and went to a football team that is on the rise in the Houston Texans. Not much was expected of Houston last year. I mean, they just drafted a rookie quarterback out of Ohio State, C.J. Stroud. They had a brand new head coach, DeMarco Rines. And when you got a rookie quarterback, there's going to be growing pains. You got to fill that roster up with talent after a really rough year the prior season. But when you've got a quarterback that can play, boy, it makes the process of rebuilding go a whole lot quicker. And now Houston aggressive. They went out and got Stephon Diggs from the Buffalo Bills to help their wide receiving core. So Blake Fisher's going to a team on the rise, defending AFC South champions. And they have an outstanding left tackle in Tunsil. The right tackle position, I've read, the Texans would not mind upgrading that spot. That's where Blake Fisher comes into the conversation. So the old Irish offensive tackle met the Houston media talking a little Notre Dame football and joining what could be a high-powered Texans offense in 2024.
Blake, how would you describe your game? And I have a follow-up. Thank you.
Yeah, my game is just dominant. You know, always looking to find, you know, work. Always looking to, you know, find ways to help the, you know, the boys next to me, the guys next to me. And then on top of that, you know, just finish. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, is just finishing.
Blake, did you have an inkling that the Texans were very interested in you? Did you meet with them, visit with them, and what's your thoughts on joining a team that has experienced offensive linemen and Titus Howard and Laramie Tunsil? Well, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely say, you know, I met with them during the combine. You know, I had a formal visit with them. And then I would say, you know, I had a couple of Zooms with them. But didn't know the interest was this high. But, you know, love this opportunity, especially being able to be, you know, back with, you know, one of my OGs from, you know, college, Jared Patterson. And, you know, then, you know, young and upgrowing team, you know, just being able to contribute, you know, just bring, you know, what I bring to the game, you know, to this program or to this organization.
I was actually going to ask you, what do you remember about playing alongside your former college teammate, Jared Patterson?
Yeah, man, when I first got to ND, he was just, you know, the guy that always took me in, you know, always, you know, just making sure that I was good. On you know, plays, different stuff like that, you know, just making sure I'm ready to go. You know, he believed in me, you know, from day one. I told him, you know, I want to come in and start as a freshman, and then you know, then, you know, him then just, you know, just having, you know, the role of a vet, a leader, taking me under and then just showing me the ropes, really. So you know, I love JP, man. That's my dog. I'm so excited to get back with him.
Cole Thompson,
Texans Wire, USA Today. Blake, congratulations on being selected. Welcome to Houston. It's a two-part question. Part one, what do you remember about watching C.J. Stroud in college and how he's translated to the NFL? And then part two, how excited are you to be a part of an offense that took new heights last year and was one of the main reasons why this team made it to the postseason?
For sure. I would just say dominant, you know. You know, CJ's a baller. You know, his mentality every time he hits the field is a winner's mentality. And then, you know, his offensive line being able to block for him, put him in the best position, you know, as possible. Excuse me. Him being, you know, him, his offensive line, you know, being able to block for him, put him in the best position as possible. And then, you know, him just going to work, being a great athlete, being a great leader. You can see it, you know, the guys around the, you know, the team there really respect him. You can tell, you can see that. So, you know, really, you know, seeing the camaraderie that they have amongst the offensive line, you know, and their QB and so on and so forth is really exciting to join.
Blake, congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. I was curious, why didn't you think the Texans' interest was that high? And then I'll ask you a question after that.
Yeah. They kind of hit it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like when you can kind of tell, when you kind of sense like, okay, like this team could be in the play. But I really didn't get any signs from them. You know, I had a quick Zoom with them, you know, a couple weeks ago, and, you know, that was it. And then four about the combine, I haven't heard anything else really. So, you know, to you know, kind of know that there was a team, you know, interested, you know, in me, kind of, you know, under the rug, you know, if you will, is a blessing, you know, a blessing for sure. Let me know that somebody believes in me and believes that, you know, I can be, you know, a big contribution to, you know, to the group.
There you go. Some of the post-draft comments of Houston Texans offensive tackle Blake Fisher, more than likely the starting right tackle for Houston this year. They have Charlie Heck, a four-year player, Jalen Thomas. He is a guy that just kind of an added player on the roster. That's about it at right tackle at the current time. So a great opportunity for Fisher to start right away in year one in the National Football League with a terrific football team. And by the way, Jared Patterson, of course, the former Irish offensive lineman, is a member of the Houston Texans, more than likely a backup center for Houston this year. He backs up Juice Scruggs, a second-year player. So Jared Patterson, Blake Fisher, Notre Dame offensive lineman, down with the Houston Texans. It is 5:27. Those are some of our opening topics for tonight's program. We'll talk a little baseball, and maybe we can get some people excited about being a baseball umpire in our area because we have a shortage at the current time. We'll talk a little baseball coming up in a couple of moments. My name is Darren Pritchett. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat is being brought to you by Budweiser and Ghost Energy. It's the feel-good energy drink we've all been waiting for, featuring Sour Patch Kids-inspired flavors. By First State Bank, committed to being a premier financial partner, First State Bank demonstrates and delivers hometown values. By Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, now with three locations serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978. And by Bethel University Athletics, sign-ups for youth summer sports camps are underway. Visit bupilots.com for details. It is 28 minutes in front of 6 o'clock, and welcome back to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. My name is Darren Pritchett. We are live on 960 AM WSBT, streaming live at WSBTRadio.com on our free WSBT Radio app. Video feed of the program right now on the Twitch app. I apologize, this cold has got a hold of my throat. Hopefully in the next couple of days it will pass. But a lot of water, a lot of cough drops, a lot of hitting the cough button so you don't hear me coughing. Sorry on video if you see me turning away coughing every couple of minutes. But when you talk for a living, try to have your voice sound as clear as possible. And it's pretty tough right now, so I do apologize. Okay, let's talk a little high school baseball for a couple of moments because two of the premier teams in the area were meeting in a very important Northern Indiana Conference baseball game last night. The two-time defending state champion Penn Kingsman taking on the Mishawaka Marion Knights, and there is a handful of Division I prospects or players who have signed that were involved in this game. I've known Chase Bays for a good amount of time, the Mishawaka Marion shortstop. I'm thrilled for him going to Eastern Illinois. Dawson French, a pitcher for Penn, is my son's best friend. He's going to be a Division I pitcher. Joe Trinari for Penn, he's going to go pitch at Purdue. So there's some great talent in this game, and it sounded like it was a wonderful game last night. I didn't get to go because my son was playing, but a lot was on the line. Conference championship aspirations with these two teams meeting at Mishawaka Marion High School. And unfortunately, there's a lot of controversy, drama, hard feelings involved in the outcome of this game. Now, I've talked to Penn, I've talked to Marion, I've talked to a couple of umpires just to make sure I've got the rules right myself. wonderful game developing. I've talked to both sides, and they said the umpires called a really good game through six innings. The strike zone was a little low at times, but it was low for both teams, and so you had to adjust as a hitter because every umpire has a different strike zone. I used to be an umpire, and I think there is absolutely no glory in being a baseball umpire. You do it because you love the game. You're giving back to the youth in our community, and I salute all umpires, no matter the sports, referees, but in particular baseball, because it's a hard sport. And in particular, you have split-second decisions. You have a rule book that is thick, and so many bizarre, obscure things can happen in a baseball game. And to be honest with you, rules are different at different levels, which comes into play a little bit in what happened last night. So in this great game, they went to the seventh inning, penned down a run. They're the visiting team, and they had nobody on and one out, so Marion was two outs away from winning this very important game. When a ball was hit to right field on a line, the right fielder went back, and the ball apparently went off the tip of his glove, then rolled on the ground, and went under the outfield fence. Immediately, and I have video showing this, the right fielder put his arms up in the air. That signifies to the umpires the ball, in the opinion of the fielder, is not retrievable. They cannot grab the baseball. Now, for example, having done quite a few South Bend Cub games over the years, if you've been to Four Winds Field, just as an example, the bullpens are in the field of play in foul territory, and there are seats in the field of play. And if the ball goes into those seats, so many outfielders for opposing teams throw up their hands. But the umpires do not stop the play. By the ground rules, those chairs are in play and you have to go after the baseball. And that's messed up through the years by many opposing outfielders. Not their fault. They just didn't know the rules at that particular ballpark. In this case, just like any ballpark, there's a fence, and in this situation, the ball went under the fence. The right fielder did what he was supposed to do. He put up his arms. At that point, you can see the hitter rounding the bases. He never stopped, which is a very smart decision. And with the video, I give credit to the field umpire. He did everything correct up until this point. He followed the base runner around the bases. That is his job. And according to the umpires I talked to, it is the home plate umpire's duty to watch the baseball in the outfield. So the hands go up, the base runner rounds the bases, and in the video I've seen from different angles, you see the hitter touch home plate and then start to take off his gear and immediately start going towards second base. I think the whole world knew it went under the fence and is a double. The home plate umpire rules it is a ground rule double. Here's the problem. According to the two umpires I spoke with, it is the responsibility of the base umpire to, when time has been called, to go to where the ball went allegedly out of play and check to see where the baseball is. The base umpire did not do that. Nor did the home plate umpire, which, from my understanding, is not his responsibility. But he ruled at a ground rule double without knowing where the ball is. There's two mistakes right there. Now, this is where the story gets crazy. And I have a video where it's really grainy. I mean, we're kind of getting into the Seinfeld, did Roger McDowell spit, the grainy footage. But there is a video where you see a white speck come over the outfield fence and lands in the outfield. And I think it is fair to assume, I can't conclude because it's not clear, but the ball was thrown back apparently by a photographer that was near the fence. This happened pretty quickly after the play ended. So the ball is thrown back into the field of play by, let's just call it a fan to make it easier. When that happens, the Penn coaching staff sees the ball in the field of play, and they ask the umpire, how can you call it a ground rule double when the ball is sitting in the field of play? The umpires didn't see the ball come back. And again, the problem is they did not go check the baseball when it was out of play. That's the major mistake here. So after a long deliberation of saying over and over, the ball is in play, how can you call that a ground rule double? The umpires changed their mind and called it an inside the park home run, which led to, obviously, the Marion coaches being very upset in the fan base, and rightfully so. And unfortunately, from the side of the story that I've been given, that the Marion coach asked, why did you call it a ground rule double in the first place? And he asked it several times and got no answer. No response. So, in a perfect world, you go out to the fence and you see the ball laying there, or you're running out there and you see someone throw it back into play, you know the ball's out of play. There's video put out by the Pennant, the Penn website, that has the play being filmed from the Penn dugout. And once the hitter crosses home plate, you hear them say, wait, the ball was out of play. And there's even Penn parents on social media admitting the ball was under the fence. So I bring this up because, according to someone that is a coach in the area, that high school baseball in our area has lost a lot of umpires to softball. Many longtime baseball umpires going to softball because the games are shorter, the rules are simpler, and in one person's opinion, the coaches are not as demonstrative as the baseball coaches in our area. I can't argue that one way or the other. This is one coach's opinion. I'm telling you what I've heard. The money's the same. So if you can work for shorter amount of time, easier rules, and friendlier coaches to deal with, which are you going to choose? So I just bring this up because, A, I think we have to do a better way of making sure the umpire's presentation of a game is good. And what I mean is, when I umpired, you want to be assertive and demonstrative. Like, you may have missed the call, but you made it right away, affirmative, and less people are going to get upset. But when you don't follow protocol and no one goes and checks the baseball where it is, which is an obvious thing to do, that leads to these type of situations. And baseball is hard. There are so many rules. In fact, today I was told that the runner should have been given third because the ball hit the fielder's glove and then went out of play. Well, in the pro baseball rule book, you do get third. But in high school baseball, from what I've uncovered, it's a ground rule double. So the home plate umpire, despite not going to see where the ball was, had it right at first. It was a ground rule double. But after getting an earful, changed his mind, and now the other side feels cheated. It's a bizarre situation. And I just go back to two things. You have to be in control of the situation. You have to do the protocols to make sure you have the best chance to getting the call right. And I don't believe that happened last night. And I'll leave it up to fans, and I've heard this today, whether the coach did the right thing by maybe knowing the ball went under the fence, but still bringing up, well, why is the ball sitting in play? The way I look at it, you do what's best for your team. You worry about your own team, and the other team worries about the other team, I guess. But it can be taken different ways, how that should have been handled. So, interesting situation, and I wish it could have been handled a little better, but I do hope people get involved in baseball and continue to want to help these young men enjoy their experience in baseball, because for the most part, I mean, 90% of the umpires do a really good job and try their best. It's the ones that don't hustle. Those are the ones where fans and coaches can get very, very frustrated. Congratulations to Penn on a dramatic win, and I feel for Marion. I see their side as well. That's going to do it for Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat for tonight, brought to you by Ghost Energy. It's the feel-good energy drink we've all been waiting for, featuring Sour Patch Kids-inspired flavors. First State Bank, committed to being a premier financial partner. First State Bank demonstrates and delivers hometown values. By Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, now with three locations, serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978. And Bethel University Athletics, sign-ups for youth summer sports camps are underway. Visit BUPilots.com for details. South Bend Cubs baseball on the way in 2 minutes on WSBT.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.